Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, ready and raring to go this new week.
Yes, Monday.
So, but didn't we solve the problems last week? Or is there still one more left? The trouble is, it's the same problem. Government intrusion in our lives.
Yeah.
Government's attack on liberty. And I guess if that's our goal, is getting rid of that, we're going to stay busy for a little while.
Yeah.
But we need to wake up more people. And one person that's helping us, because he's losing his clout, and that's that Dr. Fauci.
Yep.
You know, I know he's an MD, and he has a lot of credibility, but I don't think he ever practiced medicine.
No. He gets a big paycheck, though.
Yeah. Made more than the people who get up in the middle of the line and take care of patients.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's had a little announcement this week. He said that the masks are probably going to have to be worn for a long time. And somebody went out and did a poll of people. What do you think? How long do you think we're going to be wearing masks and practicing this social distancing? And over half the people think it's going to be here indefinitely. But that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. So he hasn't lost a whole lot of credibility, even though you do hear more criticism of him than you know, 6 months or a year ago. But he's still flying high, and I wonder who his benefactor is. I mean, he doesn't have to answer to the electorate, but if you say you have to, well, do party in power, well, that means Biden and the Democrat, but I think they're friends.
Yeah, they're buddies.
I think they're getting along quite well.
Yeah.
But one of his reasons why he suggested that they can get we need the mask because they're really helpful. You know, there's less COVID and less flu, and look, that was a side benefit. So all these wonderful things. Why didn't we do this a lot sooner? But I don't know whether he can prove that point or not.
Yeah, it's, you know, he does this every weekend. He goes on all the shows because he somehow can't stand not being at the center of attention. Well, you ask who his mentor is. I sometimes wonder if it's Bill Gates, who finds himself in a little bit of trouble these days too with the Epstein stuff. But let's put up that first clip. This caught our attention this morning. Fauci, it's possible that mask mandates could last indefinitely to fight the flu. He's just desperate for something to grab the headlines. Let's look at the next one. Same article, but different headline. Fauci says wearing masks may eventually become seasonal. And again, he claims it's because it stopped the flu. Here's one more Fauci over the weekend. This one really burned me up, Dr. Paul. Let's look at this next one real quick. Fauci says we can get close to normal next Mother's Day, but there are some conditions to that, which is that everyone has to get vaccinated. I don't know how it was at the Paul residence. I'm sure there was some sad parts, but it was probably a pretty normal Mother's Day. It was the same in our residence. But here's what he's talking about, Dr. Paul. These masks were so amazing stopping the flu. We've got to bring them back every year to condition people to wear them. Let's look at this chart. This is from our friends on Twitter. So there's a little humor in it, but if you look at the timeline, it's exactly correct because its source is the WHO. Back in February 2020, stop buying masks. Fauci on 60 Minutes, March 8th, 2020, masks don't work. As you can see, that line is the flu, positive cases of flu last year. Sky high when they say no masks, stop wearing masks. WHO, March 31st, no evidence that mask wearing has any benefit. Then April 3rd, CDC recommends face coverings. And if you look, where is the flu when they recommend face coverings? At zero. So his suggestion that masks somehow magically prevented the 2020 flu season is really undermined extraordinarily much by the WHO's own timeline of flu.
You know, the whole issue of fear and panic drive the people fearful of COVID to want the shot, want the vaccine, and they lined up, and the demand a year ago was so great.
Yeah.
But that's backed off. Now, sometimes people just don't want to get the shot. They've heard of the complications, and they're a little bit more resistant. So, but they've solved that problem, too. It was no trouble.
Yeah.
If you come in and get this shot, or if you just, they'll go around trying to persuade people where they're drinking beer.
Yeah.
If you if you get your shot, we'll give you a free beer.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
That's a real good method to practice good medicine. You yeah. know, here's, drink this beer. I wonder if they're allowed to get two shots at a time.
You know? Well, this is another chart, Dr. Paul, that shows exactly what you're saying. Let's look at this next chart. This is the demand for vaccines. And this is the vaccines that are administered by day. It's really falling off a cliff, and I've seen other charts that are even more dramatic. The demand has fallen. We don't know the exact reason. Some people may be reassessing the risk that they may get it and may get sick, and we know that younger people don't get it. Certainly older people, you know, should probably consider it more, but we're not giving advice. But you're right. Let's look at this next clip, because I sent this to you this morning saying, talk about medical malpractice. Let's look at this next one. This is a bar up in New York, in Buffalo. You go in there, if you let this guy come around to your table while you're drinking your beer and give you a shot, he's going to give you free beer. And I thought, hey, what about informed consent? You're sitting there pounding beers and some guy comes, hey, you want another round? Just let me put this in your arm. It just seems bizarre for something that will save your life, they say. Why would you have to be so coerced?
And this coincides with this effort now that even though the young people don't get it and they can't spread it and they shouldn't be sweating it, they're saying, well, no, they're agreeing now. They have to give the vaccine to young people. So they'll probably be, and you know, those whole rules changed in medicine. It used to be you couldn't put a stitch in a kid, you know, without the parental consent. Mm-hmm. Now you can get abortions and everything else without any parental yeah. consent. So they want to... you know, give vaccines. I can imagine, you know, the grade schoolers and all, and line them up. I wonder if they'll be giving these grade school beer. The beer's probably less dangerous yeah, probably. than the vaccine. So, but what
you're going to get in trouble for that one. That's it. You're going to be canceled. But it is a kind of...
You'll defend me.
It's just kind of an extortion in a blackmail in a way, because you make someone's lives miserable for an entire year and say, hey, let us put this in. You not only will you get to start living your life a little bit, but you get a free beer in the process. It just doesn't seem to me... Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. It doesn't seem the right way to push something. And again, as we always say, we're not telling people to take it or not take it. That's up to you. But we are observing some weird things that are happening.
Well, in that bar, it looked like a bar, they were in there for other reasons, like to have a beer.
Yeah.
Then they had somebody going around trying to sell them this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're here, why don't you, will you take the shot, the next beer's free.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. One person said... I was asked a few questions. He says, well, you know, I really don't believe in this stuff, was his comment. He says, but, you know, the family's cares and we want to do this and Hampton Hall. And he says, it's just for peace of mind.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the people that become more informed and then they are forced to take the shot under dire circumstances, like if I don't do it, I lose my job
yeah.
and this sort of thing. So this is... This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. They had to bribe people
with beer.
To take it. And of course, they don't pay for the beer. It's free. They don't pay for the shot. That's free.
Yeah.
But nothing is free. So who's paying for all this? And Pfizer did pretty well last year.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had more profits than ever before. So it's always the taxpayer. Well, people aren't paying more taxes, but they're printing more money, and that's a tax. So no matter what they do, you can even put free beer on there, and you don't have to worry. It'll just be paid by this invisible tax called fiat money, and who knows what else they'll spend it on. They've spent it on anything they want. You know, it doesn't need an individual appropriation for that.
It's strange, you know, every medical decision that you make, you know, sometimes they say get a second opinion, sometimes you have to. Can you imagine free beer if you come get your chemotherapy? You know, I mean, it's unreal for the medical profession to require this, because everyone should take a hard assessment. Should I have that surgery? You know, I was just talking to a family member over the weekend who has a problem. And they offered surgery, and the question is it the good thing or the bad thing for me? Is it in all balance? And that's how it should be made, not here, have a beer, you know.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Well.
But we have some better news
yeah,
coming up.
Here,
it's from Texas.
Another rally. if that's what you call it, a sporting event.
Yeah, sporting
but
event.
But the way it was written was sort of entertaining because they said, this doesn't really help the football team. Because this huge event, they got more people out. 73,000 came out to see a boxing match,
yeah.
Which happens to be my least favorite sport. I don't even call it a sport.
Especially as a doctor, yeah.
I can't really cheer on other than the fact that they did it.
Yeah.
And they got to go there. But, you know, boxing, the whole goal of boxing is to give somebody a concussion.
Yeah.
and people die from that. But it's a rough sport like football and everything else. But anyway, they came out. AT&T Stadium sets pandemic attendance record, 73,000. So I think the officials had to wear masks, but the people didn't wear masks. And that to me is a big issue. The fact that they want to engage either in the fighting or cheer to see somebody getting knocked out. That's up to them. That's a personal moral choice.
And let's put up that picture because, you see, I mean, generally, I don't know, these look like younger people. They probably assess, looks like one guy's got a mask, the others mostly don't. They've assessed their health risk of doing this, and they made some decisions. And, 73,000 of them went to AT&T Stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play, and they watched a match. They didn't have to have a vaccine passport. They didn't have to prove the vaccine. They didn't have to wear a mask. And this sort of mirrors what we saw, the 40,000-person opener of the Texas Rangers a few weeks ago. And remember that everyone flipped out. Fauci flipped out. How can they do this? This is insane. How dare they? Well, let's look at this next chart, Dr. Paul, because this shows what's been happening in Texas. And again, anything can change. We are not, we don't read the crystal ball here, but this is from our good friend Alex Rodriguez out of Texas. Texas hospitalizations and ICU since end of mask mandate. Over there on the left, you see that's back in March when they announced the end of the mask mandate. And if you look, it's going down, 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 and there's a little making fun of Biden. The last thing we need is Neanderthal thinking. Fauci inviting another surge. Beto, death warrant, reckless decision, Castro, Newsom, reckless, et cetera, et cetera. But the numbers are in, and we did not get a super spreader spike after the Texas Rangers game either. Hopefully won't see one after this, but it looks like Texas is in great shape after opening up.
Right. Now, this one has come up. It has to do with health matters. It has to do with how this lockdown has gone and how it's gone to protect the big drug companies and which medicines they could take and not take. And I am hoping this is an exaggeration. We're going to talk about it, but I would... still think this is a horrendous number that is really tragic if it even comes half this high. But this headline is responsible for hundreds of thousands of American deaths, calls mount for Fauci and the FDA, Woodcock, the leader of FDA, should be responsible for this. But they're talking about the responsibility of the medications being available, hydroxychloroquine and also the ivermectin. Mm-hmm. And this is really interference in the practice of medicine. And my comment is, why don't we legalize the right of doctors to practice medicine?
Yeah.
Which means that from the very beginning of my studying of medicine, that although they talk about a drug, then this approval stuff, almost everybody thought about, you know what, I gave this to so-and-so for such and such, and it helped this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of things are discovered. And the doctor's supposed to, make a judgment. I can remember at one time there was something coming out for OB, for prevention of pregnancy. And to me, it was just ghastly. Mm. And so I wouldn't use it and went to, and later on they had to take it off the market because it was so bad. But that was just my reaction. So that to me is using the brain to practice medicine, and if you're leery about it, don't do it. But here they've done everything in the world to interfere with people. There's been so many stories about the way they treated some people treated independently you know, the COVID, and had very good success. And it wasn't complicated. The medicine was, and this might be the reason I do it, the medicine is cheap.
Very cheap,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, this this hydroxychloroquine isn't an expensive medication, but you look at all these expensive things and much difference. And it almost looks like this is risky suggestion. It almost looks like the profits of the drug company may be driving this whole thing.
Yeah, you think? Maybe some of that lobbying paid off.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you say is interesting, the way the doctors, they sort of learn from each other, because this flies in the face of the whole concept, the science is settled, you know, Deus Vult. And it just makes me think that these people are so reactionary. You know, they're so opposed to the advances that are made when the science isn't settled. But we learn as we go. We evolve in our knowledge. They're the Neanderthals. They're the reactionaries.
Let me just mention one of those. The science has settled it, and it lasted for a while. But it occurred before I was actually in medicine, and they thought that the best thing you could do for a woman after she had a baby was to keep her in bed. And they would do it for like 10 days.
Yeah.
The worst thing in the world you could do.
Yeah.
You know, and yet that happened. But the science has settled. Yeah. It's better for her. She'll have less complications. All this stuff. So as soon as you get into the official government type stuff and you have a collective thought of how to practice things, and so many things that I saw in medicine wasn't led by the great medical centers. It was led by independent MDs out there that were willing to try certain things and make it. And yes, they probably had their problems. It wasn't like it was perfect. But I'll tell you what, when government gets involved and they say, thou shalt not use this medicine, or you will do this, and it happens to be wrong, that's a problem.
Yeah. Because they've got the guns.
Right.
But I mean, it is a good point. How many people, when they said you absolutely cannot use hydroxychloroquine, to the point where they quietly, as you pointed out a few weeks ago, said, well, you can do it, just don't talk about it too much. How many might have been helped and might have been saved? I was actually looking, Dr. Paul, at an article earlier. I don't have it here, but about a real spike in cancer diagnoses. Because remember last year, when you looked at the numbers, it looked like cancer had disappeared. COVID had cured cancer. I think we even talked about that on a show. Well, it turns out it didn't. It's just that people didn't get diagnosed, and now they're being diagnosed at a much more advanced stage of their illness.
Yeah, the number of reports are skyrocketing about the complications from the vaccine, and those numbers, I'll keep looking at them, and I know you look at them.
Yeah.
But they're so. I always worried about it because I just, by nature, these things can cause problems and complications. And I don't even think the people who manufacture, well, it's within reason. It's within our estimates of what can happen. But they're getting huge numbers and a lot of people don't even report their results.
Yeah.
And of course, the people who are collecting this, it's available, you know, CDC and other things. They actually keep lists of these, but they don't advertise it. You know, like last week in the city of so-and-so, we had 7 deaths right in this very city. They don't have any announcements like that. No headlines saying that there was a major problem with the vaccine and somebody dying from it.
And it's according to the CDC's own site, and I've seen charts, because the new numbers from the adverse reaction list come out every Friday, and I saw some charts over Friday, and it's just through the roof, the adverse reactions. And I wonder, you know, you talk about in the past where vaccinations have been pooled, because it turns out once the adverse reactions reach a certain level, people realize that there's not enough confidence in society. Oh. And I just wonder if this is getting close to the point of some of these previous ones.
Yeah, and you know, I want to make sure there's a distinction between people dying from the vaccine, which is a possibility and one of the reasons that people have to think this through. But the first point I was making there was the people who died, the invisible people who died, you know, from COVID, because they were denied the medication.
Yeah.
Just like there's been so many stories about people who lost some important medical care during the the lockdown,
yeah.
Because they couldn't reach their doctor and couldn't get the care, and the hospitals were closed and this sort of thing. That's the one where they think the most people really suffered the consequences because they couldn't take the cheaper drugs,
yeah.
And they either couldn't afford them or find them, because it was very hard to find the medications once they made it illegal to use the cheaper drugs.
Yeah. Well, I'm careening toward closing. If you have some other, I just wanted to bring up one other thing. I sent it to you earlier this morning. It's a little bit long to digest, but I just wanted to pull something out of it. And I think it's just an example of this kind of mass mental illness that's descended on the country. And it's over the mask, which is, we believe, is a symbolic for the most part. But let's look. This is from the Washington Post. Of all places, the Washington Post. And of course, you have some caveats because there's a lot of nonsense in there, but they are finally writing about it. To mask or not to mask. With vaccines and new guidelines, the mask faithful, and that's an interesting word, mask faithful, navigate a weird gray area. It does sound like a religion, doesn't it? And here's just a little quote. Let's put up the next one. A little quote from this article that struck me as a real example of how this is not a medical issue, it's a mental illness issue. When David Diaz went for a recent 5-mile run in Iowa City, he took along a partner he's depended on for more than a year, his face mask. He knew he didn't have to, he's fully vaccinated, and federal guidelines say unmasked outdoor exercise is safe. At first, he wore the mask around his neck, but after passing people one block later, he pulled it up. And then he began wondering why. Was he posturing? Was he showing concern for others? Was he worried passersby would view him as an anti-masker? Was he actually being anti-science? And then here he is quoting, "At what point are you doing more harm than good and letting fear or something rule your life? It's still a thing I'm trying to work through." He is feeling fear and anxiety without the mask on, because he's been mentally conditioned, psychologically conditioned, that he has to have it on when he goes outside.
So they create the fear to intimidate people not to do it. They build up enough fear, you better do it, and then you do it. But then when it becomes okay to remove it, the fear and the anxieties for getting rid of their friend, because they get conditioned to it. And a lot of people are like that right now. It's always, they feel a little undressed because everybody else has their mask on, they put it on.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing that's going on. But then again, we do see that sporting events, even weird sporting events, you get tens of thousands, 75,000 people out. So that is in the move. The statistic that was disappointing to me was half the people aren't very optimistic. They think that we will be social distancing and wearing masks for a long time to come. And I don't want to believe that.
No.
So we have to work harder to convince people that they're not hurting anybody. This whole thing that you have to do it, and they don't have a medical excuse. You know, if they have their vaccine, and somebody else has their mask on, and they have a vaccine, why are they worried about us not doing it? They're safe. Well, they must not be safe. Yeah, because if they were safe, and we've talked about it, then there's, how can we keep people fearful?
Yeah.
So we have to do that. And then the president's probably one of the worst.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's insane.
I mean, he's never seen without he wears 2 and 3 masks. And
except when he meets the Carters, then he takes it off. Yeah, spread some germs. Thanks a lot.
Hypocrite, huh?
Yeah. So, I'm done, Dr. Paul.
Okay.
Take us home.
I'm always done in. But anyway, I want to thank our viewers for tuning in once again to our program. And I know most of you all understand what our efforts are. And it is to promote the cause of liberty. And it is to make sure that people know that peace and prosperity is achievable if we do the right things. And most of the time, the right thing is simple. It's simplified. When it gets complicated, there's something wrong with the solution. Even in medicine, much of that was true. Some of the things were pretty simple, like taking vitamin D and zinc might have saved more lives than all this other nonsense. You know, it doesn't have to be real complicated. And that's why I have a lot of confidence in the whole principle of liberty, that I think people are smarter than the government gives them credit for. Matter of fact, In looking at the writings of progressives and the people who really believe that they're doing the Lord's work by taking care of people, believe that people just can't take care of themselves. I had other members of Congress sitting beside them having a vote where we had disagreement. It was a friendly conversation. Why are you doing this? You know this is a violation of their liberties. Yeah, but they're so stupid. I mean, I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't pursue the argument. I didn't throw up my hands and grab them by the shirt collar. But anyway, they're elitist. They believe they know what's right. And it just happens to fit into their own personal egos and their personal finances. And there's a financial thing, and some people live for power and some just for money. And some, they just want to be proven right. So they want to be in charge. And besides, there's a lot of stupid people out there. Well, I don't agree with that, because I think the stupidity comes when people become dependent, and the government says, we'll take care of you. You just do this. Now there's been an epidemic here. We're going to send you money, and don't worry, those checks are going to keep coming, and nobody goes back to work. You know, it's unintended consequences. It's people are fed bad ideas and consequences, and it doesn't work. So I think this whole effort in managing things in a society where people can have the greatest prosperity and greatest peace is with allowing people to make their own decision. And that's what liberty is all about. It's personal self-ownership. You own your own body. You can do with it what you want. And if you do something wrong or you mess up your life, you can't blame somebody else. That's the tough part, because people say, yeah, I want my freedom, but if I mess up, I'm going to send the congressman over to your house and steal from them, and so that we can be taken care of. And that's why liberty doesn't work, because the people who offer free stuff generally get the advantage. They get in they get more publicity, and they will use that to grab the moral high ground. Because if you're not for the free stuff, then you're immoral. And if other people say he has to work for his stuff, he has to work for his bread and butter. Well, eventually, though, I think if people aren't treated with respect, they will not act in accordingly. And this is what happens when the government, the politicians, and the bureaucrats make the decision. And we certainly witnessed a bad year. I've lived in times when conditions were much, much worse. Cold wars, hot wars, Korean wars, Vietnam wars, World War II, depressions, and all these things. But right now, I think our greatest effort has to be directed toward getting people to understand what liberty is all about and what voluntarism means. That everybody can run their own lives and everything should be voluntary. Two people have to agreement. It's based on coordination of people, you know, voluntarily agreeing on what to do. And it's not that complicated. No, we need the government there to tell us what to do. Well, you don't need the government. The government files things up. It's very rarely do we have to have the government. And right now, I would say we have way too much. The founders tried to describe what a limited government was like. And even back when it was started, there were many in the debate that said, now, I don't know if this is going to work. Maybe this won't, hold the strings, tie the strings of the big government. And it hasn't. So we have to renew that whole effort to get people to understand liberty and believe in it and work for that, and not continue this total dependence on the governments and the people who demagogue the issues and tell us everything that we have to do. And I'm just so confident that society that I describe is going to be a much better. It's going to be a much better than society than anything governments can give us, because government encourages people who want to take advantage of other people financially. They want to have monetary benefits, and they also want to, and they're enamored by power. And that is unnecessary. We have to believe in ourselves, and we have to believe in liberty. Believe me, I'll tell you what, we would have a lot better chance of achieving peace and prosperity under those conditions. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please return soon.